Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Yes, sir.
And we, it's great to have the aspiring broadcasters.
Well on their way, Nate.
They are well on their way. All right, we are going to talk some NFL football with Andy Benoit, MMQB and SI, joining us right here on Sports 1140. Andy, it's Grant and Doug. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well. How are you guys?
Doing good. Talk to me about Blake Bortles. When you look at him on the film, what is he doing differently? How different does he appear in the last 3 weeks, let's say, than he did in the first 3 months of the season?
Yeah, he appears very different. I mean, he looks like a whole different QB, like someone like just took him out and polished him up and put him right back in there. What's really encouraging, it's not just that the results have been good, the process has looked good. And what he's doing specifically, he's moving with a lot of calm and poise within the pocket and subtlety and nuance. And naturally, when you do that, you keep your eyes downfield, you see the field better, and you get more rhythm offensively. And so that's part of it. And I think a reason he's been more comfortable, for one, their offensive line's playing very well. And that O-line, it hasn't been as good in the run game recently, but they've been overlooked in pass protection this season. It's a pretty good pass-blocking line, including the rookie left tackle they have there from Alabama. So that's one. But then, two, they have a lot of really defined reads in their system. They're doing a great job with their route combinations, especially off play action, and Bortles has always been a good play action passer. And so the reads are very defined because the plays are very well drawn up. So everything's working really well in Jacksonville. And I think if you had said at the front of the year, if you had told the Jaguars, hey, you guys are going to be 10-4 and you're going to have a stretch in December where you're not running the ball particularly well, they would have never believed it. This is a running-based team, and yet they've shown in the last few weeks they can win by throwing the ball a little bit.
Andy, there is a game in the AFC South, Falcons-Saints. This should be a humdinger, but you talked Tevin Coleman. He was out for a second with protocol of concussion, Julio Jones, ankle and thumb. And then the Saints, they got two guys with groins on IR, Klein and Vaccaro. Who needs this game more, Atlanta or the Saints?
Well, it's a pretty big game for both of them. I believe the Falcons are still a game behind New Orleans, so they would need it more, I guess, in a technical sense. But both teams would tell you this is a vital game. And, yeah, they've got some guys banged up. I think they're set up to survive those injuries. But Carroll's a little bit of a big one for the Saints, but they have more depth in the secondary now than we've seen in past years. And that's just the nature of football this time of year, too. Guys get hurt. Coleman will be back, and that'll be a big boost for Atlanta, but they can survive a week or two without him.
We're talking with Andy Benoit, MMQB and SI. A lot of the 49er fans excited about the future with the addition of Jimmy Garoppolo. What do you like about him when you look at him on film?
He's very compact. There's an efficiency to everything he does. And he transfers his weight well as a passer. The ball comes out quickly. And he's very equipped to throw out of empty formations. And that's something that Kyle Shanahan, he's done a lot more of since Garoppolo entered the lineup. And then Shanahan, what's interesting with him, he'll go empty out of two running back sets. So he lines up, and one of those running backs is fullback Kyle Juszczyk. So he lines up in these running personnel groupings and then motions out to empty and spreads out your base defense. That's what he did in Atlanta, too. It's really hard to play against that. Those base defenses are not accustomed to spreading out and playing pure coverage like that. And Garoppolo, when you go empty like that, the ball has to come out quickly because there's no one left to help the pass protectors chip block or anything. Garoppolo's been very good out of empty. His skill set fits that very well. And I would almost tell you, I would almost guarantee you, they probably wouldn't have traded for Garoppolo if they didn't think he could be a good passer out of empty formations. That's how important it is, and we're starting to see it week in with them now, week in and week out.
Andy, the Chiefs have a chance to kind of maybe stem the tide of a lot of stuff that's happened this year versus the Dolphins. What do you expect to see from them in this game?
Well, Kansas City blitzed a lot more last week against the Chargers than they have all season long. And that surprised me a little bit because this Kansas City, I believe, has blitzed less than every team in the NFL this year. In fact, they'll drop their best pass rusher, Justin Houston. They'll put him back in eight-man coverages sometimes. Not sometimes. They'll do it every time, every game, in fact, several times a game. So it was a change of approach for them, and I don't know if that was a function of facing Phillip Rivers, who came into that game red hot, or if they're just realizing that, hey, this rushing three, dropping eight, it worked a little bit early in the year. It certainly worked in week one against New England, but teams have kind of started to catch up to it, and they like it when we're not rushing Justin Houston. So let's change it up, and we'll find out, because they're going against Miami, and Miami's a three-receiver offense, so they're going to have a lot of chances in Kansas City to put their pass-rushing personnel on the field. It'll be interesting to see how they approach that game defensively. It's going to define what they will be going into the playoffs.
Andy, it's maybe a difficult read against a subpar New York Giants defense, but Eagle fans, after watching Nick Foles, are they breathing a sigh of relief? Did you see anything in watching Nick Foles that should concern Eagles fans?
I thought he was a little bit rusty in some of his sense of timing and maybe his vision, which you probably would relate to your timing. But that can be corrected, and that's almost to be expected. I think what was encouraging is that he was willing to play from the pocket, and he was also like Bortles. He was calm and poised from the pocket, and that's another really well-defined offense, and an offense that Foles is very familiar with. In fact, he might even be more familiar with it than Wentz, because Foles played in it when he was the backup in Kansas City for a little while. So Eagles fans, they can keep their hopes up high. Obviously, you want Carson Wentz in there, and losing him, that you're going to set your offense back, because he's so good on late third down situations. But they can continue to play the way they've played with Nick Foles, and we'll see how his timing looks this week. He's not playing a very good defense again. The Raiders have struggled, but I would hope he'll be a little bit crisper in his timing early in the game this week, and I expect he will be.
What was the Eagles' defense, is that an aberration, what happened against the Giants? I mean, Eli threw for, what, 430 yards? The Giants had their best offensive day in over 2 years. Was that just a bad day for the Eagles, or is there something else that we should talk about?
Yeah, I think it was more of a bad day. The Giants, they did a good job of getting the ball out super quickly. I mean, it was the blink of an eye, and the ball was out. And Manning, and they also were quick between snaps. They played hurry up, no huddle offense. And Manning has always been very good like that. And when you play that way, that removes the pass rush. Even though the pass rush is good as Philly's, and it's probably the best four-man rush in the NFL, it's not going to get home if the ball is coming out the second it's snapped, essentially. So that's kind of the blueprint now, but that's a blueprint everybody knew about. The Giants are just able to do it. They beat Philadelphia in some man coverage situations a few times. Philly's a zone defense. You still play man-to-man if it's third and short. Everybody does. They gave up some big plays in that. Those tend to be aberrational. Ronald Darby at cornerback, he had a tough game. He's had a good season when he's been in there. He hasn't been in there all year. He had a physical injury. I wouldn't worry too much about it overall, though. And, you know, it'll be interesting. We'll find out this week, because another team that likes to spread out and get the ball out super quickly is the Raiders.
Andy, with Carson Wentz out, it may be the Vikings, the class of the NFC. Are you buying with Case Keenum, playoff football a little different? What do you see with these Vikings?
I am buying it. Playoff football, you know, I never quite know what to make. I mean, that's almost, you know, you would know much more than myself, Doug, because that gets into the mental side of sport. And the competitive, you know, that you can't analyze on film, especially someone in my position who never played beyond junior high. So I don't know what to make of the playoff football thing. Also, Keenum has not played in cold weather before.
Right.
This game coming up Saturday night will be his first game in cold weather. That factors in, but we don't know how it's going to factor in. I mean, he might be better in cold weather. Brett Favre was always better in cold weather. So there's no way to know that. What we do know from studying them on film and watching them every week is Keenum has bought into that offense fully. That's another really well-designed offense. They beat zone coverage downfield. They beat man coverage at the shorter levels with their route concepts. And Keenum has been very decisive in executing it, and it's worked out well for them. And I would hope that will continue. And if it does continue, then I think they are the team to beat in the NFC, because that defense is rock solid.
Boy, they are rock solid, yeah. And they're going to keep you in every single game. There is no question about that. Andy Benoit, MMQB and SI. I'm going to go off on a little tangent here, because I love what Peter King has done with MMQB, and of course, I consider him to be a legendary figure when it comes to NFL writing and then in the broadcasting. And I'm curious, what's it like to be on a staff that he runs and work with Peter King?
It's tremendous. It's as good as you could imagine. He is a great boss. His sense and understanding of what's going to be the storyline, what will people be interested in. His gut instinct is the best I've ever seen, and to have weekly meetings with Peter and get his advice, I mean, that is the most valuable part of working in MMQB, and that was the thing that attracted me to the job in the first place.
When you talk about being with Peter and MMQB, because we have a couple kids in here that are listening to us right now, and they are in high school. What's like the one thing that you went in and that you learned, you were like, oh, my God, I never knew that, and it just blew your mind?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. I learned, and it wasn't taught to me, I just observed it, is you got to be able to work at weird hours when you're covering football. These games end at different times. A lot of times, especially for Peter, they end East Coast 1 a.m. sometimes is by the time you get to your computer. And I've seen him work from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. in the car, and we got out and got gas, and he was putting his laptop up on top of one of those big trash cans at the gas tank, the gas stations, and just kept typing there. I don't even know if he noticed we stopped the car.
Right.
I mean,
that's beautiful.
And they type his own. Yeah. And that day he kept his shoes on for 2 straight days, didn't take them off. And then when he did take them off, they stayed off for 24 straight hours. He just gets in this zone, and other stuff around him ceases to exist for short bursts.
Wow.
And so you got to have, and I don't know if that can be taught or learned,
yeah,
but he's got a flexibility and an ability to adapt and just roll with it. And I think that's an important trait to have, because also everything happens so quickly. I don't like it now, but you got to write these stories fast and get them up there and get them on the internet when the search engines are looking for them. And to be able to adapt to that and do things at weird hours, that's a real helpful tool, and you gain an advantage that way.
We're talking with Andy Benoit. Andy, before we let you go, 2 chances left for the Browns to win a game at Chicago and at Pittsburgh. And, you know, it was only a couple of weeks ago we were asking the same question, yeah, about San Francisco, and they've been able to turn their season around, and they now have a lot of hope because they have a quarterback in Garoppolo. If I'm talking to a Browns fan, what would I tell them? Is there any reason for optimism that is there light at the end of the tunnel for this franchise?
You know, yeah, I think there is. You know, I've watched every Browns snap this season, and my feeling is this team, frankly, they should be about 4-10, 5-9, something like that. And I'm not saying they've given games away. I'm saying that their talent's better than their record. And I'm not a big fan of their system and what they're asking of DeShone Kizer. I don't think they've given him any help at all with the play designs and play calling. They've made it as hard as possible on him. And then they've benched him when it hasn't gone well. I think it's been a really poorly orchestrated offense, and that's been disappointing to see, because Hugh Jackson got the job on the strength of his offensive pedigree. And, you know, granted, Hugh Jackson puts in the hours. I'm sure there's a lot of factors he has to deal with that I'm not aware of, but just watching from afar, they have not done anything to help that rookie quarterback this year. It's cost them games.
You said you watched every snap. Have you been punished? Was that a part of your punishment?
God bless you.
No, they're an NFL team, and I try to see every game every week, I know that they're not winning now, but come springtime when they've got that number one pick, people are going to want to know about the Browns.
Yeah,
and they'll trade what will be a future Hall of Fame quarterback to someone else. No, but you know what? Seriously, though, I'm glad you said that, because, you know, we always talk about all the good teams, but yet you were talking about a storied franchise. We're talking about, you know, an incredible, faithful, crazy fan base. And here they are again going through this type of a season. And I just the fact that you have watched every snap, I wanted to get your perspective. So in a nutshell, closer than they appear record-wise, like, you think, again, just to recap what you said, that they're better by 4 or 5 games than the record indicates?
In my opinion, yes. I think the talent is there. And, John Dorsey criticized the players that are on the roster. I think when he sits down and examines it closer, I don't think he's going to overhaul that roster the way people expect. That's a better roster than people realize.
We're talking some NFL football as we got 2 weeks left. And, you know, we talk about the Seahawks who are coming off their worst loss under Pete Carroll, and now they're at Dallas. This is a huge game for both teams. Give me your thoughts on this matchup.
Well, it's a very big game, and they both have mobile quarterbacks, and they have to play to that and play to that advantage. What stood out with Seattle teams the last 2 weeks, the Rams, especially, and then the Jaguars even more than the Rams. In fact, before that, the week before, they've played what's called quarters coverage, and it's basically each outside cornerback and each safety, they take 1/4 of the field and split it up that way. And you play zone, but you play man-to-man, and within your 1/4, there's a lot of rules and nuance to it. But what it does, it keeps eyes on Russell Wilson, and it balances the field because you've got one guy across each 1/4 of the field. And that has – Seattle's offense is pretty rudimentary designed, and that's to make it easier for Wilson to run around and make sandlot plays. I think this quarters coverage, which the Rams played a lot after they saw how the Jaguars did it, I think that's a little bit of a blueprint in that Seattle's going to have an answer for that. Dallas plays a lot of two-deep safety coverage, which is very similar to quarters, and I would imagine we'll see that this week. And if Seattle can figure out a solution for it, they might make the playoffs. If they can't, I think Dallas wins this game, and Dallas will be in contention heading into Week 17.
Andy, how much of the struggles that we've seen with the Dallas Cowboys this year do you put on Dak Prescott? Because for a while there, he was mentioned in the same breath with Carson Wentz. I know you've had Ezekiel and some different things, but this was maybe supposed to be that season that Dak took that next step.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I think he has taken the next step. It just hasn't translated to the kind of success you've seen, and maybe the step hasn't been quite as big as we would have hoped.
Okay.
He certainly has not taken a step back. I mean, he's a good player, and he commands the field. Now, they help him as well, and I think he's the style of QB who probably needs to have a running game in order to be successful. I don't know if he's a Phillip Rivers or a Tom Brady type where you ask him to throw 50 times and that's going to go okay. But when you give him a play-action game and a boot-action game and get him on rollouts, you know, I think he's a good quarterback, a very solid starting QB. Now, they've had inconsistencies along the O-line, which is unusual for them. Wide receiver's been an up-and-down position. Then Elliott was taken out of the lineup, and it took him a while to adjust to that. And when you add up all those things, you've got an 8-6 team. I don't think Prescott's the reason they're 8-6, though. I think he's been better this year than he was last year. It's just the circumstances around him haven't been as good, and he's a guy who's probably going to need good circumstances in order to thrive.
Andy, great stuff. Enjoy the weekend of football, which begins tomorrow with two games. Have a great holiday, and we'll talk to you next week. Be well.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Andy Benoit, MMQB and SI. Good stuff right there. The reason why I want to ask him about Peter King is – I've followed Peter King for decades. I've had numerous interviews with Peter, and I just have the utmost respect. And I've just heard about Peter's work ethic is just through the roof. And, you know, for someone like Andy, and Andy breaks down every play of every game. Goodness. So you think about, you know, all he does is watch the coaches' film.
Yes, and you put me on to Peter King because I was like,
he's the best.
And you say MMQB. So now I go and I look and I read.
His Monday column is the best.
Is awesome. And to hear a story like that from Andy about Peter on the trash can, the story is definitely not trash, but he did it on a trash can. Incredible stuff, man. Oh, that's awesome.
All right, so we've got a lot going on today. Obviously, the tragic news we woke up to this morning with Dick Enberg gone at the age of 82. So if you have any broadcasting memories of Dick Enberg, give us a call at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Coming up at 5:30 today, 49ers rookie cornerback Akella Witherspoon will be joining us. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll talk with Willie Cauley-Stein. So, you know, in between our guests, we will have an opportunity to take your phone calls. And got a lot going on with the Christmas weekend upon us. The roads.
Weekend.
Yeah.
Come on.
Football weekend?
No. Come on. Keep going. Come on.
What is today, the 22nd?
Today is the 22nd. Come on. Come on, baby. I know you're done. You can't. Are you serious? You got to be joking me right now, man. Are you serious, Grant? You still haven't done it?
I have not.
Go
shopping? No. No. I don't. I wait till the last minute.
Grant.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, man. You know what that is? That's the Scrooge in you, man.
What difference does it make? I don't give out the gifts until on the 25th. What difference does it make if I get them on the 24th at 9 o'clock at night?
Better selection.
Says who?
Says me.
I don't believe that. You can get a good deal on Christmas Eve.
This is true.
See?
But it's not as plentiful.
Well, first of all, I have a perfect wife because she handles 99% of everything in our family. So, like, honestly, I don't even have, other than, you know, Mrs. Napier.
Did you ask her what she wanted?
No, I never ask her what she wants. I already know.
Oh, okay.
No, I've never once asked my wife what she wants for Christmas. I hate when people ask what you want for
Star,
Christmas.
Star, do you have a Christmas drawer? Do you have a Christmas drawer where you put all these presents
Let me tell you something.
The ones that you didn't ask for. do you have that drawer,
hey,
Star?
Let me tell you something. My wife, honestly, she would tell you, I mean, I'm not to brag. She loves what I get her for Christmas. She's always blown away. So, no.
And the Academy Award goes to Star Napier.
I'm going to have her call right now. I'm going to have her call the show. I'm going to go.
Yeah.
What's our number here?
Boy, she can act. You are the best. I see you.
First of all, you know what she does? First of all, she always says, don't get me anything.
But Grant, that's the buzzword. Don't get me anything. Do you know what don't get me anything means? If you don't give me anything, you are in trouble.
Let me tell you something. My wife's, you know, Star. She's cooler than cool. Like she invented the word cool. It's not a big deal.
Until that payback day comes one day. Remember when you didn't used to give me anything? You didn't ask me. You remember that, huh? You remember that? Yeah, now what do you think, buddy?
See what it's like working with Christy every day?
I love it.
I just texted Mrs. Napier. I told her to call the show in the next segment.
Oh, boy. You think I'm fun, boy? It's about to turn up in here now. It's about to be lit.
Yeah.
Tell the truth.
Kind of like that picture when we were on the airplane.
That's all-time stuff.
All right.
Man.
Tell you what we'll do. We'll take the break. We will come right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, we are back with you. My favorite guest of the program right now, the beautiful Mrs. Star Napier. And we
in
wanted
the house.
Her, that's in, well, kind of in the house.
Yes.
She's on the phone. I didn't know if she would be out. I didn't know if you'd be out for a run or something. So we, you know, I'm glad that you got my text because Doug had a couple questions for you. How are you, by the way?
Oh, he did.
Yes.
Star?
Yes.
Okay. So first of all, Grant tells me he still hasn't done his Christmas shopping. I guess they would be for you and the family, so you guys wouldn't know.
Now, wait a minute. I told you that she does 99% of the shopping for the family.
Yes, but that 1% would be for?
That would be for Mrs. Napier.
Exactly. Is this true?
Oh, that's totally true. That is full-on,
okay.
Full-on Grant.
So
forever. There's, like, I just cleaned the house today, Doug. I didn't find any presents. Yeah,
hold on.
Blue
but you were looking, though, right?
On him.
You were like, looking for presents, cool. though, right?
No, I just didn't see any, you know.
See, Grant, when she says, because Grant said that you said, don't get me anything. Is that true?
Oh, no, man. We are so good. Doug, you need to understand that Mr. Napier plans stuff, surprises for me all year long. He'll plan trips. He'll do stuff. He does nice stuff all year long.
I get you.
He planned something special for my birthday in January. And he told me about it and I totally forgot because that's me. But he does nice stuff all the time.
See what a nice guy I am?
I don't worry about him because I know that he's going to do nice things.
Okay.
See, there you go. What did I tell you that my wife, what did I tell you before she came on? She is cooler than cool, right?
Yes, you
See?
Did. I knew that. Now, he did say that you love everything that he gets you. And I said, and the Oscar goes to Mrs. Napier because
I thought
you were
really
acting.
He has really good taste, Doug.
Does he?
You know,
for
he has
women's
really
gift?
Good taste. I know. He has really good taste.
That's scary a little bit.
I know.
Hey, listen. When I go on trips, like when I've gone overseas and I come back with like these purses, I go, you know what? My wife's gonna love that, and I'm not bragging.
Yeah.
She loves it. Then on Christmas, I get her something where she's not even thinking about it, and she loves. She's.
Okay.
I do know her taste.
So
yes.
There's no drawer out in the garage with all these gifts, and you're just like, oh my God, that was gross.
No, but he doesn't get me things like, you know. Hey, sweetie, I thought you really would like this boot stretcher. Like he doesn't get me stuff like that, you know. he's like hiding diamond earrings in the Christmas tree.
Ooh.
Like that's Mr. Napier.
That's the diamond and gold vault right there.
yeah, that's what he. I mean, like that's what he does, Doug. So like, I don't worry. Like I'm not sweating it. I'm like, no, he's good.
You know what? That is a That sets the tone for some romance. That's Mr. Romance, Mr. Romance Napier. Earrings in the Christmas tree, Napes? That's next level, sir. Oh, baby.
I know. He's a good boy.
Yes.
He's a good boy.
You're darn right I'm a good boy. And then, so it's all good. Yeah, DC, we got it going on in the Napier household.
I see. But see, you know what, Star? I needed you to call in to confirm this because, you know, Grant, he kind of stretches it from time to time. I just, personally, I can't believe that he still hasn't taken himself out to the stores and found stuff because I told him it's going to be picked over and Miss Napier won't get the...
It's not going to be picked over. Not where he goes. No.
Oh,
see?
Lets me know.
No,
Doug. High-end. He's pulling out the platinum card.
It's not going to be picked over.
So get a load of this. So Star's son is in the Air Force, right? We haven't seen him in ages.
Okay.
So he's coming home today
for
a visit. So I go to Jonathan, get home yet? She goes, no, because he at the airport, he ran in the car. He goes, no, he actually went to Davis to see a girl first.
Well,
you know?
Hey.
I know. I was like, I got nothing. What am I going to say?
Exactly. Okay. If you see me right now, my hands are up in the air like, totally understandable.
I know.
Jonathan.
Yeah.
Tell him that I said.
You're going to be freaked out, baby, so whatever.
Yes, tell him I said, and all the KHDK listeners said, thank you for his service for sure.
Oh, I will.
Yes.
I will.
So now,
are you done shopping for Jackie?
Nope. But I've started. I haven't went yet. Kind of went. I've picked out some things.
Well, you might be picked over.
He's talking about wait until the 24th, Star. That's a whole nother level.
Well, here's the deal. You know what? Gifts are not until the 25th. So what difference does it make whether you get it on, like, October 24th or December 24th?
Yeah, you don't look like a procrastinator.
Have you heard my Christmas rant?
Actually, it's one of my absolute favorites.
All right, so here's the deal. Chris, just so you know, I'm telling my board up in there, get the Christmas rant ready to roll. That's how we're ending the show today. All right. Okay.
We're gonna let people have it.
We're gonna end the show today with the Christmas rant.
Star, did you get him to eat any leftovers?
Oh, no way.
What's for Christmas dinner?
I think Christmas dinner because you guys are gonna go down to LA.
Yeah, I'm not
right?
even
you
home for Christmas
here?
Dinner.
Yeah.
So I think it's just gonna be me and my boys. It'll probably be spaghetti.
Ah, okay.
Meatballs.
It's
And my wife makes, like, the meatballs she makes are, like, top shelf.
Next
top
level?
Shelf. Like, next level top shelf.
The cookies were right there.
You like those cookies.
Thanks.
I did. Thank you.
Yeah. You know what? Hey, by the way, babe, I got to tell you, you know, the nice thing you've done as we get to the new year, Doug does not eat any more dried fruit in the studio. So you've helped him out in that regard with all that sugar.
And your teeth are probably thanking you, Doug.
Yes, they are. Thank you very much. I went and did my dentist cleaning and everything.
So no more sugar highs for Doug with his, dried fruit that he thought that was, you know, good to eat.
Well, with that comes a sugar low as well, Grant. So I'm keeping it right in the middle.
No, you should be all good now.
Exactly.
You should be all good. You got your protein midday.
Yes.
You're doing good things, right?
Yeah.
You've got protein bars, right?
Yes, I do. I have one in the bag.
Good protein bars, not bad ones.
No, not the bad ones. Actually, I go to Whole Foods and I grab some, but I'll let Grant be the judge of my highs and lows.
I'm afraid what's going on here. I've got Jay, my producer, handing Doug questions to ask you.
Well, the question is, has Grant been good for Christmas? What's on the list for him?
Has Grant been good? Grant has. We'll see. Grant has gifts under the tree.
Oh,
right?
He does. Oh, come on. Yeah. You should feel bad, Grant.
Why do I feel bad?
Well, because you have gifts under the tree.
So what?
And no one else does, huh?
No, everyone in the house has got gifts under the tree. I told you, my wife does it all.
Did you have to buy your own gift,
Star? Let me tell you something. I came home from the road.
No,
come on. I came home from the road trip.
Yeah.
Like weeks ago, and the whole house was decked out. My wife's got everything up. I did everything herself. And like I'm telling you, I have a perfect wife. How many times have I told you that I have a perfect wife?
Yeah, you have said it. Yeah.
How many times? I tell you that all the time, right?
Yeah, you do.
I do. I have a perfect wife.
Oh man, Star, you are you made our day again. I thank you. I'm gonna get him out there though. Don't you worry about that. I know you're not worried, but we're gonna make sure he gets out to the stores with that plan.
My wife, she makes Christmas lit at our house. She's got it. Our house is gonna be turned up.
Everybody leaves.
It sounds like it's gonna be real crunk. That's we're gonna get him. We're gonna get his vocab together. So what was that other word? That's crunk.
What is that?
Same thing. It turned crunk? Up, same lit, thing, crunk. It's all in the same family,
that's,
Grant.
That's a lot of tequila, baby, for you.
Wait, Mrs. Napier, I have a question. This is Jay. What does a Grant Napier Christmas list consist of?
For him or for myself?
Just for him?
Okay, so Grant Napier Christmas list. You have to go through the year and think about what he likes, what he's looked at. Right? Because he has really everything.
Okay.
And then you get a little bit, you got to do like a naughty side and a nice side. So we got a little naughty gift and we got a little nice gift.
Forget the nice gifts. Let's go straight to the naughty side, Star. Tell it to us.
You know, I mean, that's how we do.
That's how Mr. and Mrs. Napier roll.
There are some gifts that we open in, not around people.
You are the best. You two are the best. Oh, my God. This is what I needed. Right now, I don't even need to work out because the abs just got worked and I'm sweating at the same time. Oh.
By the way, Star, I got to tell you. So, like, I'm wearing the sweatshirt that you bought me, and I've got the two students here from Wood Creek High School, and they're like, they were raving at how great my sweat. And Doug, I said, well, you know, my wife. And so I said to Doug, Star got it for me. He goes, yeah, right. I go, no, she got it for me at the team store. And he goes, you're kidding me. I go, no. And then I told him the story about Tick, the assistant coach, Dwayne Tickner, who saw my sweatshirt, and then he went to the King store and bought one. So, yeah, it seemed, does my wife not have great taste or what? Look at this.
You just sold about six of them because everyone's going, we're going to get one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have one, Doug?
No, I do not, but I will be going to the team store and checking it out.
Grant's looking. Tark said he's going to go buy one.
Yeah. And Connor, so Connor as well. Grant's looking dapper today. He's fit. He's got on his sweats. He's.
I know.
He's
got his little boy haircut already.
Yeah. Hey, make sure you get that sound right
the
there.
The
boy haircut and naughty list. You put that together for us. You hear me? We're going to be looping
that.
What?
You know how many people right now are going, man, I wish I was Grant Napier.
Yeah.
You should see Doug right now. Doug has got both hands over his face. He almost fell off his chair.
Oh, boy, you can't make this stuff up. I wish I worked for a living sometimes. So, Star, you are the best.
Star, you know, this will not embarrass my wife because she's so cool, but she wants to start her own show on satellite radio.
Really?
Yeah, she wants to call it Sex, Shoes, and Shotguns.
Okay.
Because she's from Dallas. She's from Texas.
Okay. You know, shoes.
Sex, shoes,
and
shotguns.
I get the sex part, Grant.
We just thought that would be a good show. Now, personally, I have never held a gun in my hand. Oh, I've never had a gun in my hand.
You know, I went right here to CHP when we played for the Kings, and they took me in the car, did all this, let me shoot all these guns. It was awesome.
See, my wife in Texas, everyone's got guns down there.
This is true.
Yeah, you need to learn how to protect yourself.
This is true.
And shoes.
Well, that's where I was going. What's up with the shoes part? I got the sex. I got the guns.
Too, man.
You're just missing rock and roll. What's up with the shoes? Are we talking high heel shoes? Are we talking boots, tennis shoes?
You got to do all kinds.
Oh.
The shoes are important. I mean, I run, so I have to have good running shoes. But then when you're going out, you have to have nice shoes. You can't be looking all crazy.
This is true.
And then you got other shoes that don't ever leave a certain room in your house. They just...
Boy, oh boy, you only get this right here, ladies and gentlemen. I love
Merry Christmas, Doug.
Thank you. I've been good. This is, oh my goodness. We are glad that you called in, Star. This is,
you know, now
best.
That I think about it, Sunday is Christmas Eve. I just thought that it's all NFL. It's an NFL Sunday, so that's going to really, that now I got some real issues here.
What's the issue, Grant?
The issue is I can't shop on Sunday because it's football Sunday. I just remember we got games all day.
You got something to do tomorrow?
I got a game tomorrow.
Early?
Okay. Yeah. I gotta, you know.
The mall opens early, Grant.
All right.
Goodness. And they're open late, too.
I got a game tomorrow.
They close at 11, Grant, just so you know.
It's okay, Doug. I'll post whatever it is he gets me. I'll tweet you, and I'll send you a little picture of it.
Oh, there you go. There you go. It a little picture. It better be a big picture, Grant. Come on. You hear all this?
It doesn't need to be that big, Doug.
Well, I just he needs to do it right, Napier.
Yeah, we do it right. So what about you, Mr. Christie? You all done with your shopping?
No, I'm not done yet.
Oh, okay.
I went last night after, thankful to you, we got off a little early, went and did a little bit, and I'm going to go tonight again.
Well, you're going to get off a little early tonight because we're going to end the show with the Christmas rant.
And I'm going to be doing a little more shopping. Yeah, I'm on it. I'm on it, Napes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, my wife deserves some good stuff, so I'm going to hook her up. I got her.
Yeah.
And my son. He's been a little naughty, but I got him, though. I got him.
Yeah, your son's, Dougie's great, man.
Yeah, well.
It's all good. All right, babe, I will see you in a couple of hours. I'm going to try to keep Doug in control here until we get off the air. He's really excited after talking to you. He's like, wow, he's like, the Napier household seems pretty fun.
Gets crunk.
Yeah, it's crunk about 25% of the time.
There you go. Hey, at least you got a percentage. That's what I say.
That's all we need.
No doubt.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Merry Christmas, Doug.
Merry Christmas to you too, Star.
Bye.
Is that a classic or what?
Look,
what did,
man,
I tell you?
This is our radio listeners. Some of them pull over.
No, we don't have to pull over. They're in traffic and they're going 2 miles an hour. And I was just told I got a break. So
come on.
It's all good.
Are you serious? Did he do this thing like this?
He did.
Did he?
He did. We'll be right back. You got your entertainment for the day, Christy?
And then some, Napier. I am.
You all good?
Well, you can hear my voice. Excuse me. Is starting to leave me already. Miss Napier calls in, and the show always takes a swift right turn.
Yeah, we should have her on more often.
Yes, at least once a week. We got to have a segment. Getting to Know Grant Better by Miss Star Napier. That is awesome stuff, man. I tell you, the little boy haircut.
Hey, you can't make fun of me with my hair. What kind of haircut would you call yours?
This would be called the cue ball.
The cue ball?
This would be the cue ball. I gave up.
You know, I love, seriously, I really mean this. Like when they had the NBA Hardwood Classics.
Yeah, yeah.
And we go back and see you and you and your dude when you're playing, man. You know?
It ran away from me.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the wrong
way. It's just gone.
It's gone, yes.
It's all right.
I'm not a, beard, none of that.
It doesn't
come in for me.
No.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Just take the razor to it, Napes.
You do what you got to do.
No doubt.
You know, no problem at all. All right. If you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We have got a busy weekend in football with two games tomorrow. And Minnesota at Green Bay, the wind chill is supposed to be around zero at kickoff. You know, because, hey, here's the deal. The NFL, they don't care about their fans. So let's put the Green Bay game at 7:30 local time in the evening kickoff. Let's not have the game at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
No, let's have it, and you know what? You would think, well, the difference in temperature is going to be 10 or 15 degrees. That's a lot.
Oh.
That's a lot.
Yeah, well, when you're at 30 already or you're at 20,
right.
Yeah, going to 10? Goodness gracious, man, yeah. You know what? It used to Green Bay's outside. Vikings used to be outside. Now they got that beautiful indoor stadium. So Case Keenum first go on the at outside. So it should be interesting.
Tomorrow's
to see how
he high in Green Bay, high of 20 and a low of 6,
but
with the wind chill.
Oh, okay.
Right around zero for a kickoff.
Ugh, man, I'm telling you, man. You're handing it off, you're throwing it, you're catching it, you're touching helmets, you're blocking, you're slapping, you're swimming, but hey, once you get warm, it doesn't matter. You're going to get that W.
I'm just glad we're not there. That's all I can say. All right, tell you what, we'll come back, we'll take some phone calls. This is Sports 1140 KHDK.